You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Number two on the NFBC is Julio Rodriguez, who hit 275, 32 homers, 37 stolen bases, 102 runs, 103 RBI. Phenomenal season. OBP wasn't great, 333. He did have an 818 OPS, which was quite a bit lower than the rest of the guys in this tier. Why don't you give us rattle off some of the other anecdotal things, profiles for Julio.
I mean, obviously, big first half, second half on Julio. 249 in the first half, 308 in the second half, but he was 308, 363, 578 in the second half, so he ended hot, which is nice. He was top 15 in hard hit percentage, max EV, and average exit velo. So Julio is great. He had a little bit of a dip in the beginning of the year. Everyone was like, maybe this guy's a middle of the road guy. Maybe he's not this impactful player that we saw last year. He shut everybody up in the second half that was doubting him. And this is right where he deserves to be, is in this group for sure.
Yeah. Did you rattle off some of the percentile ones I didn't hear? He was 13th in hard hit percentage at 52%.
Yeah, I just said he's top 15. In
all. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Just so that I thought the hard hit percentage really spoke volumes. I also love to see max and average EVs equate there. I know so many people, and that's totally fine, do not care about average EV. And the reason behind it is like weak dribbly stuff gets counted into it. I always thought it was very interesting talking to, and it might be a young player thing, but in my Rates and Barrels interview with Cal Manzardo, Manzardo said he doesn't care at all about max EV. He actually only cares about average EV. He wants to know he's consistently hitting the ball hard. And the guys, like, show. There are players that, like, Ketel Marte was one of those guys a lot where he'll have, like, 118 hit, and then his average EV will be like 89. And you're like, oh, there's a big discrepancy. I love to see high average EVs go with big max EVs. And that's what Julio has.
I mean, there's not a lot of bums in the highest average exit velocity. It's just looking at your top 10 here. It's Stanton, who, okay, we can say he's a bum, but above him, Yordan, Seager, Yandy Diaz had a great year, JD Martinez, Chapman, Matt Olson, Shohei Acuna. So there's not a lot of scrubs with high average exit velo.
Yeah, odds tell you that, like, it's sticky in that, like, really good players live in that range. You know, I mean, yeah. I guess you could argue like Matt Chapman, but Matt Chapman's hard hit numbers are through the roof. He definitely had a bad year. So it's not a one for one. High average EVs do not equate to absolute success.
Almost nothing is one for one, but it's pretty solid.
But a lot of the elite players do have that, so that's where you get close to it. Also on the improvement side for Julio Rodriguez, just kind of adding in, He improved his zone contact percentage by over 3%, which is big. He was 80.1, then went up to 83.3, which you love to see. His swing percentage, his zone swing percentage also went up. So, you know, he's just swinging inside the zone, not screwing around. His chase rate went up a little bit, which is obviously like something to watch long term. But he's a, you know, he's a phenomenal hitter. I think looking at this, where did it go? He kind of performed right at bay, like where he needed to be. His XBA and batting average lines up pretty well. He underperformed versus breaking pitches, slightly overperformed against fastballs and off speed overall. And, you know, he did the damage where he needed to. And the three pitches that he saw at least double digit percent of the time, he had a batting average of 260 against sliders, 273 against sinkers, and 304 against four seam fastballs. So that's what he saw the most. And then you start to get into like the changeups and curves and stuff. I'm always very hyper-focused on fastball slider combos because that's what you're going to see the most. And if you're hitting fastballs and you're not also not being fooled on sliders, it's fantastic. By the way, he had a better and higher expected batting average against sliders than he actually hit. So just a super smart guy. Zone contact was up, stole bases like crazy. And outside of having some whiff problems, I mean, his spray chart too is just, it is all over the field. I mean, the pure raw power is undefeated for Julio. So I'm a buyer right back in. I don't think there's going to be any, I think there might be some valleys, but I think he gets back to where you need to be every point of the season. Julio's projected another 30-30 season. He is one of only two outfielders to be projected for a 30-30 season. 33 homers, 31 stolen bases, 101 runs with a 282 batting average. That's even better. So that's kind of what I'm talking about, where the expected numbers were in his favor, especially on off speed. So Julio's a great bet, baby. That's we're telling you everything y'all know. Julio is there.
I have a question on the next guy here, Welsh. Corbin Carroll.
I've heard of him.
His NFBC is 4. Obviously, the huge year, 285, 25 bombs. 54 stolen bases, but his, you know, these numbers on Savant are somewhat league average. His barrel percentage is actually below 50%. One of the few guys up here, you know, it wavers up until you get down to like Bellinger. He's the next guy in this outfield class with a barrel percentage below 50. So some of these, most of the numbers are still red. They're just not, you know, vibrant blood red like Acuna, right? So obviously the numbers are still great. He's still a top five player. I don't think that's a question. The question is, does he deserve to be up here? And a little fall off, does that impact him so greatly to where does he need to be a little bit lower, taking our fandom out of it and trying to objectively look at Carroll because he is amazing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing Leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
At the edge, then get on the grid. Sportsgrid.com.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Yeah, and those numbers totally. 285, 25 homers, 54 stolen bases, 116 runs. OBP was 362, which is quite a bit better than Julio. Better OPS at 868 and a better slug, 500. Actually, Julio was under a 500 slug. I think it's a really fair question. I think he does belong here, but I think he has more volatility in his game. And I think if you can, the hard part is when you look at the stolen bases, they're so elite and he doesn't have, if I remember correctly, I'd have to look here. Now I'm going to look because now I'm dying to know. I don't think he had crazy split. Yeah. Left. No, he hit 283 against lefties, 286 against righties. What I was getting at is like, I didn't think there was some big split monster. There was a big power split monster because he only hit four homers and 152 at bats against lefties, 286 with 21 homers against righties in 400 and essentially 400 at bats. So if you just do triple math, if you would have to have, what would that be? 7-4. You'd have to have seven homers in that amount of at bats to equate to the power he was doing against righties. So he struggles from a power department there. Here's what I'm saying. All this is to say, what I've always said about Corbin Carroll is he's an optimized player. He optimizes his swing to take advantage of every little bit that he needs to. Launch angle, he improved this past year. He hit the ball even harder. He improved his hard hit percentage by 8%. He had an under 20% K percentage, so he stopped striking out, which some people had some early worries about that. His zone contact percentage went from 77.9 to 84.8. this past year. I mean, now you're talking like high-end contact. Also, the chase contact percentage went up over 10% this past year. So you make your contact better, stop striking out. What does that mean? That means you are finding your pitch, which for him was fastballs. 14 of his homers came off of fastballs, and he made every little bit work. But that comes back to your question. Is he more maybe volatile than we're giving credit? And does he belong in the same breath as Bobby Witt and Julio Rodriguez? And I think he might just belong at the bottom end of it. I think I'm going to have Mookie above him. That's what I was alluding to before.
Okay. Like
Mookie, 39 homers, 100. You're going to have Shohei there hitting behind him. He's going to qualify at second. Yeah, I just think
200 runs. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I won't get those stolen bases from Corbin, but I think the offensive production for Mookie is through the roof. Corbin Carroll's projections, I will say, though, incredible. But still, 26 homers, 42 stolen bases, 104 runs, hitting .273. He's a great contact hitter. I think the biggest thing of worry here is those power numbers come down. But even though the barrels aren't there, he, 11-degree launch angle, average exit velocity over 90. He gets every little bit out of it. He's a first round guy. I think he's a middle first round guy. Frank has pushed back on wanting like to take Freddie Freeman over Corbin Carroll. I think it's really going to just be what's going to be your personal philosophy on stolen bases this year, because I do think there are safer bets from a hit tool than Corbin Carroll. Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman are them. but it's just going to be what's your philosophy. Like, do you need to get elite stolen bases at the top? And if you do, you should take Corbin Carroll at five or four or something like that. If you don't really care and you're going to get them later, then I think you can start moving around. Like, I don't know, Juan Soto is going to be nuts this year. I wouldn't kill anybody for taking Soto over Corbin Carroll. I think Juan Soto could beat Corbin Carroll in four or five categories this year hitting in New York. It's just not going to be stolen bases. It will be a dramatic difference. So I think that's going to be the, you know, kind of big differentiating factor. So that was a lot there, but it understandably, like, you and I should probably talk a decent amount about Corbin Carroll. Just because of our push last year.
Just be objective about him too, you know, because it's hard for us, especially with, you know, our team going to the World Series this year and all that stuff, to be objective because we were so excited and everything. So I just wanted to ask that question. I think your answer was fair.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. But also, like, you know, I was just crapping all over projections last year because I'm like, these are silly and stupid on Corbin Carroll. We're not there anymore. Corbin Carroll's projections are reasonable. You give me 2040. I think he's an easy first round pick, but of like the guys that we've talked about, who might be in line for the most regression? It might be Corbin Carroll. That might be the guy. We saw some bad swings. We saw he didn't walk for like almost a month into the season. And, you know, he gets into some habits, but I think he is too good of a hitter. The funniest thing here, I don't know if you remember this, and I never did the work for it, but do you remember last season I kept saying Corbin Carroll is probably closer to Mookie Betts than anybody is really understanding? I said, I think their profile is, you know, the kind of smaller-ish bodies and fully optimized power and stuff like that. And it's hilarious seeing these two guys next to each other now. But a 2040 season is a very old school Mookie Betts type of year as well. So that's why I think Corbin Carroll is. I think he's a mid first round pick. It's just going to be your determinant. If you want those elite stolen bases, you should value him over Freddie Freeman. You should value him over Soto. You should value him over Mookie Betts. If you don't care quite as much, then, you know, maybe Freddie Freeman is the pick. Maybe Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts at second base is like stupid, absurd here. And he was the other one that added to this tier of the top five. He will be playing second base, but he qualifies at outfield. Mookie, 39 homers, hit .307, 126 runs, 107 RBIs, 14 stolen bases, nothing to turn your head at. .408 OBP, .579 slug, .987 OPS. He beat Corbin Carroll in every single category but stolen bases last year, and he's going into a team that has Shohei Ohtani. The Dodgers are out for blood, and he'll be playing second base. Do you got some other funsies to add to Mookie?
Yeah, I mean, for Mookie, in terms of just his, you know, his savant stuff, 8th in xWOBA, .407, 7th in slug, 13th in xBA. So all of his expected numbers are huge. And 16th in average exit velo, 27th in barrels per plate appearances, which is high. And he finished hot. He had big home away splits, 334 to 279. Big first half, second half splits, 276 in the first half to 347 in the second half. But you talk about a guy that ended on a heater, 347, 448, 570. And like you said, adding Shohei Ohtani in here, I just went and looked, and the all-time record for runs in a single season is by the original Billy Hamilton in the 1800s at 198. Obviously, don't think he's getting there. But, I mean, it would not be shocking to see Mookie score over 150 hitting at the top of that lineup, and maybe there's opportunity for more stolen bases as well. So hard to see the downside with Mookie. He is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the Mooks, and I'm in full bore for drafting him this year. And I do currently have him one step ahead of Corbin Carroll. It's a tough one for me because I just truly believe that one of the great things about Corbin Carroll as well is that he will be a good hitter always. He will always hit for high batting average. And the way that he puts the bat on the ball, even though the barrel numbers aren't super high, he's going to hit homers. Like, he's always going to have some power numbers. Arizona was relatively
the question, I think, with him. Really, the only question was, is he going to hit for legit power? And he is. So everything's there for both of these guys.
Like, if Corbin were back to hitting .300, because here's the thing. Let's say the homers, you give a definite advantage to Mookie. And then you give let's call the runs maybe even like a tie for a second. Batting average, I know it goes a little, okay, so a little bit more to Mookie. Let's do that. A little bit more to homers to him, more runs. The stolen bases are so far in favor of Corbin Carroll, you could argue.
Yeah,
you could argue it makes up for the homer difference and the run difference,
but stolen
and
the batting average difference too.
But stolen bases are getting cheaper, and the RBI totals are very different. Corbin is not in a place where it looks like he's going to be putting up 100+ RBIs. I mean, what was the number this past year? It was 76. If you're hitting .300, maybe that can get better. But it's like, if we cross cancel the homer difference, the run difference, and the batting average difference in favor of stolen bases, there's still a crater difference.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for a...
In this league.
What's his name?
In this league.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
That's $4. In RBI between the two guys. And then if you start throwing in an OBP league, okay, that's another massive difference. So it's like Mookie is just a much better floor player.
More well-rounded.
Corbin Carroll, Julio Rodriguez, and Bobby Witt, they are young, exciting power bats with elite stolen bases, and that is not something I'm also afraid to do.
Maybe higher ceilings too, which is crazy to say that they have higher ceilings than Mookie Betts, because Mookie Betts offers, you know, number one overall upside with a bullet. I mean, but there's a lot of talent up at the top. So
moving to the next tier, we're not even out of the top 10 overall in NFBC, is Fernando Tatis Jr., who is number 7 in NFBC, 25 homers, 29 stolen bases, 141 games. He hit .257, and the RBIs were pretty low, .322 OBP. It's one of the worst. It's actually the worst of the first round qualified outfielders or DH guys that we have here. But where there were some bad splits you're going to mention, there are also some really impressive hard hit stuff, underlying things. 7th best slug to an even better expected slug, by the way, which was .508, one of the biggest differences. Yeah, 25th in expected slug in all of baseball. He had a higher expected WOBA to his already 9th best WOBA, and he had one of the 10th, or I guess that's the 10th biggest differential, and then he had the 10th best batting average to XBA differential. He hit .257 with an expected .281. So we just told you
there's meat on the bone.
There's Bogman would say there's meat on the bone, but he is at least top 10 in improving slug, WOBA, and batting average for a guy that is already coming off of a 25-25 season. It was pretty messy there, except there are a few little things that you're probably not going to like how he ended the year.
Well, yeah, and I just think the separator between him and Mookie and the rest of those guys up there is the giant splits that he has. He had huge lefty-righty splits. He had .305 versus lefties, .244 versus righties. He's on the bad side of that split. You'd much rather hit better against righties because most pitchers are righties. Also, big first half, second half splits, as I mentioned, .288 in the first half, .225 in the second half. And all of the Padres really faded down the stretch, and Bob Melvin was a big part of that. And but .225, .292, .368 was his triple slash down the stretch. Just not good enough, right? So I think that is, the final numbers are still amazing. Still a very good player. Obviously, you know, volatile is the word that we would use to describe Tatis, and that is why he's not up in that other group and why he's slightly below. But he's still going in the top 10. I'm not trying to tell you he's bad. He's just a little more shaky than the other guys that are on more solid ground to me.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. He's doing all right. I think he just hit a homer the other day, hitting in winter ball still. But he had some things that on like a higher improvement side from this past year. His chase contact percentage was better, which also that can lead to just more poorly hit balls. But his overall zone contact percentage was better. His zone swing percentage, so he's being a little bit more patient, that went down a tiny bit. But you also see some expected numbers, even though the batting average as a whole expected is wildly higher on the full breakdown. He actually well overperformed against four seamers. He only had a .248 expected batting average against, with an almost 30% K percentage against four seam fastballs. That can't be the case to move forward. But one of the things that works well is he well underperformed against the next group of pitches. Change up, sinker, sliders, like batting average was close to 50 points higher on almost all of them. So he's an elite, amazing hitter who had a bunch of a bunch of things that tell you he underperformed due to maybe some bad luck. Batting average coming back, projections like him, 278 batting average, almost 40 homers, almost 30 stolen bases. He'll be back into the prime. There's no Soto there, but he'll be back into that prime spot for the Padres. And he's a good bet. He's a good bet overall. And it's interesting him compared to, and I'll tell you this, this is what's interesting. Was this NFBC the whole, or was this like March 1st?
No, this was from December 1st.
Okay. Oh, so for December 1st, perfect. Because I think something that may have started to transpire, and let me see if this was the case. Yeah, this must have changed from December on, because from if you go from the 15th on November drafts, Kyle Tucker was going ahead of Fernando Tatis. So that may have been a change that just recently happened. And this is something we had talked about on the CBS show as well, that like Kyle Tucker, in some regards, like Scott was saying, deserves to be in the conversation with Carroll, with Julio, with Mookie, with Acuna, that Tucker deserved to be there after hitting 29 homers, 30 stolen bases, 284 with 112 RBI, 97 runs, 369 OBP, is the third best of the players we've talked about, and over 500 slug and just under 900 OPS for Kyle Tucker. What do you want to add on Kyle Tucker for the profile?
I mean, you know, there's he was top 15 in xWOBA. He was 16th in XBA, 17th in X slug. So top 20 in a lot of expected numbers as well. I think the difference between Kyle Tucker and those other guys is that, is there more for Kyle Tucker? Because I do think we could see more for some of those guys up at the top. For Mookie, it's about him being consistent and them adding to that lineup still, which is just incredible. For Corbin and Witt and Julio, those guys are all, you know, very young. Look, Tucker's still young himself. What is he, 26, 27?
I think he's 20.
He turns 27 next month. So he's in his later 20s. He's offering you great numbers. He's a great floor player. Is there anything more to build on with him, Welsh? I mean, X numbers were great, but this is how he performed with them. I think this is what we're getting. We're getting a great player, a top 10 player. I don't know if he deserves to be in the top five.
I don't know if it matters.
He could absolutely finish there. Sure.
Yeah. If I know I'm getting 30-30, 100-100 with a high batting average, like all
great player,
I probably take that like two overall without any risk for a lot of these other players, because there's no guarantee. I think Bobby Witt is going to have another big one. Julio seems like he's starting to lock to 30-30. But what Tucker provides is a sweet fifth or sixth overall pick, knowing the changes that he's made and knowing you're getting what people are paying two overall pick for at like six or seven. His zone contact percentage is like absurd. Something you just want to pay attention to the quality of hit. It's the highest of his career, 87.3. I could have put up, I didn't pull up a leaderboard here. I would bet that's near the top of the league right now. And his chase rate dropped to the second lowest of his career, which is huge. You want the whiff percentages to go down. And if you're tracking about amongst the highest pitches he sees overall, his hard hit percentage rose against every single pitch type except for changeups. Changeups, he struggled this year hitting them hard, but he was 50% against versions of actually every fastball version. If you consider cutters a fastball, cutters, four seamers, sinkers, he was 50% hard hit or higher against all of those. And he was on like breaking and off speed as far as sliders and curves, 43 or higher percent. So I'm saying is like, dude hit the ball crazy hard against everything. It wasn't weighted in one spot, doesn't chase, high contact percentage, still runs, pulled the ball a little bit more. I mean, he's doing
everything.
One of the
best players in baseball. Yeah, no doubt. All I'm saying is I think there's a line between him and the other guys, which is not a bad line to be under.
And no scaries for me. There's no big scary. No. If anything, it's interesting he hit better away than he did at home. And that's
a microcosm of the Houston Astros as a whole. Yeah. Last year, for whatever reason,
Aaron Judge, we're still not even out of the first round. Number 11, he comes in as far as NFBC draft goes, 37 homers in a row in 106 games, 79 runs, 75 RBI, didn't steal much, 406 OBP, over 1,000 OPS. and missed time was a struggle, but he did finish a little bit hot.
I mean, first in barrels per plate appearance, first in hard hit percentage, first in average exit velocity, first in xWOBA, first in xSlug. Biggest positive difference between xSlug and actual slug, even though he was first in slug. Best in WOBA. Best in WOBA to xWOBA. 10th in max EV, 20th in expected batting average. There is nothing outside of him not getting stolen bases and being injury prone. That those are the only negatives on him. And that is what the injury proneness is, why he's down here. He only played 109 games last year. So, or 106, excuse me, 106, and still 37 bombs, 79 runs, 75 RBI. It's all about, is he going to stay healthy? Big home away splits, I don't really care about that. 243.07. I think that's something that is a little bit arbitrary for him, but it doesn't matter even if it isn't. The guy is just a monster. It's all about, is he going to stay on the field and play 145 games? If he is, he can be one overall, maybe should be with the power numbers that he has. But I mean, he's just incredible, but can't stay out there.
Yeah, I think the only thing I really worry about is the injuries at this point. I don't care about the stolen bases with him.
Get him somewhere else. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, his profile got a little bit wonkier. Like the strikeouts kind of went back up, highest in 4 years, and he was chasing a little bit more. XBA numbers not in his favor, if I was just looking at that correctly. Actually, I guess it was in his favor. What was I looking at? I was just looking at something that wasn't in his favor, but only thing I care about is exactly what you said. God, his chase numbers went down. I don't know what the hell I was just looking at. Chase numbers actually the lowest of his career. Oh, it was his own contact percentage dropped to the second lowest of his career. So while he wasn't chasing, the batting average numbers still work. He just wasn't making as much contact. I could spout out whatever you want here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face?
Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
I just care about the injuries. That's it. I don't care about it. I don't care about home run splits. I don't care about any of that. I think he's in line to be a 50 home run guy every single season that he plays a full season. And Steamer agrees, 47 homers projected in 150 games. Over 100 with a 270 batting average. What I do think is an interesting debate now is Juan Soto. And I internally was having this debate because Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge. I do think, regardless of the XBA, there's some batting average things that float out there, but he is an elite player with a little bit of injury risk. Juan Soto, even though the year got off weird, 35 homers, 109 RBI, 97 runs, stole 12 bases, and hit 275 with a 410 OBP, second highest that we've talked about yet. High OBP guy, 930 slug. He goes to New York in a friendlier environment where just more balls are going to fly in his new ballpark. And I am struggling with Soto, or I was struggling with, as far as my rank goes, in him versus Aaron Judge. I think it's a real debate, and the NFBC drafters have them next to each other. Why don't you rattle off some of the funsies on Soto?
Yeah, I mean, top five, fifth in hard hit percentage, seventh in xWOBA, 11th in average exit velo, 13th in xSlug, 19th in max exit velo, and 25th in expected batting average, top 25. So, I mean,
red baseball savant page, red,
red, and played 162 games. So, just that is a difference maker. It's funny because he still had two fewer homers than Judge, in 55 more games. So, 56 more games, but yeah, Soto's a great player. In a better lineup than he was last year, in a better ballpark than he was last year. So it's hard to find the negatives on him at all whatsoever. Not a big, huge stolen base guy, but still had 12 last year. So a handful is not nothing. Just a very, very good player going to a better ballpark and in a better lineup.
Yeah, I'd love to see, you'd love to see him pulling a little bit more. He actually had a 6.7 degree launch angle, which is now 5 of 6 years played in the majors. It's been under 10. So it's also something like, you're not going to pick on a player when they're still producing. You know, his hard hit numbers are, you know, through the roof. It's been 50% or higher 3 of the last 4 years with low K percentages, incredible contact zone percentages. That's what he did again, 85.5, which is above MLB average. And it's, it looks like it's the, last year was the highest of his career. It's the second highest of his career he had. So, I mean, you know, he is still the patient, find my pitch type of guy, destroyed off speed stuff this year. Breaking pitches as far as contact got him last year. He only hit 163 against breaking pitches. And this year he hit 273. So I think, you know, you're looking at like sliders. He actually hit 315 against sliders this year versus 134 the previous year. So that is an exact number for you on that. So, you know, Soto is an elite, elite hitter in a ballpark that definitely favors, you know, his side of the plate. I think he's going to smash. And, you know, once the rank episodes come out, you'll see where I lie on Soto. But I legit think there are arguments that, so you could even put Soto in that Kyle Tucker thing I told you about. Kyle Tucker is as good, but there is just something about Soto's new environment that just screams to me 40, 120, 120, like that type of insane bonker season that's out there. Two more guys in this tier. We have a DH, Shohei Ohtani. You kind of know all the questions. Hit 44 homers, 20 stolen bases, 102 runs, 95 RBI, hitting 304 with a 412 OBP. He also was doing those as pitchers. He will not be doing that this year. The expectation is there will not be missed time. There could be a slight little missed time, but he will now be hitting for the Dodgers. We are thinking he's probably going to hit two, and then maybe it's Freeman three, and Mookie is leading off. If you don't care about back-to-back lefties, it's probably going Ohtani to Freeman. So it'll be something like that. So, you know, him being hyper-focused as a hitter only, I know we're talking outfield here. He had 135 games. If you get 150 out of here, you might be looking at 50-25. I mean, Ohtani is crazy, but he will only qualify at UTIL.
Yeah, I mean, they've talked a little bit about him playing the outfield, but that's not going to happen this year. So we'll see what happens down the line there. But yeah, I mean, you know the risk if you're taking Ohtani. It's two things. Number one, he only qualifies at UTIL, so you got to stick him there and you can't move him. And then number two is there going to be missed time? And it's a possibility. I don't know that I would expect him to play 150. I'd probably expect him to play somewhere in the 140 to 130 range, just, you know, because of his injury. And the fact that he just got an enormous contract and the Dodgers are probably going to baby him a little bit as well. So there's going to be some rest days here or whatever, but it's not going to be like it was when he was pitching.
I don't know. So I don't know if there will be. I mean, DH, there might be one or two, but there's just no need. And I don't think
anything at all. And he played through a lot of stuff last year too. Remember the day where he, you know, had like whatever it was, 15 strikeouts and then hit two homers that night game and played through a back injury. It was just crazy. So plays through a lot of stuff. He's a tough dude. But I do think the Dodgers, with this enormous, biggest investment in sports history ever, will probably baby him if there's any twinge or sign.
I'm thinking there is 100%. Zero. I disagree. I don't think there'll be any of it because I think that's a pitching thing. I think there's nothing.
I don't think it is. I think it's a giant contract thing. So.
But he has $2 million and they can get it. There are out, like, I know what you're saying here and yours is the better way to go, but I don't know what, like, does that,
I think it's the only way to go.
Does that change him? Like that. But he's not pitching. Like, that's all.
I understand that, like, he's not pitching, but I mean, you pull a hamstring, your back hurts, whatever, any little thing for a guy that's already coming into the season with an injury, I think they're going to baby him. That's all.
Yeah,
so, I mean, he's an amazing player.
They also lost to the Diamondbacks, and like last year, and there's a lot talking of pressure about the playoffs and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's why you save those guys for the playoffs. So
yeah, we'll see. But I mean, what does that do for you? Does that change, like,
it does? It doesn't. You think 15? I mean, I was just pointing it out. All I'm saying is I would expect him to play right around this 140 mark, 135 that he played last year. That's all.
And 40 and like 40-20 will do you everybody very well.
Yeah.
And again, those are. you arguably, if you don't look at position,
and he might get better because he's only focusing all of his attention on hitting now.
And if you can get your brain off of positions, like I would rather have those categories Otani's giving me than Kyle Tucker. So, you know, but outfield, and that's not quite there. One more in this, and holy moly, Jordan Alvarez, 31 homers, 97 RBI, 293, 77 runs, kind of a down year from that. Doesn't steal, 407 OBP for Alvarez. Third in expected WOBA, 460. His big barrel guy, big slug guy. I think he was fourth in expected slug from last year. Top hard hit player. I mean, everything kind of lies there. Anything you want to add with Alvarez?
I mean, Jordan is just awesome. You know, you said these X numbers, the X WOBA, X slug, top 10 and everything. Everything expected he's top 10 in. He's giving you the donut in stolen bases. That's really the only downside, is he is a four category guy who is an albatross at stolen base. And with the nature of stolen base now, the fact that they're cheaper, easier to find, it almost becomes an arms race. So taking a guy with an absolute donut does hurt you in other spots. Also only util guy as well. Or no, I guess he does qualify at outfield still. I don't know why I said that. I was looking at my highlighted guys incorrectly here, but yeah, I mean, just a great player, going to give you those huge power numbers, not a lot of runs because he doesn't run well. But he also had 77 runs in only 114 games. So little injury risk with him too, but you know, you're getting an outstanding hitter in one of the best lineups in the game in Jordan.
All right, next up, we are moving into the NFBC 30 range of overalls. Again, we are like just at, I think this is outfielder 11. So those were our top 10. Luis Robert, or as everybody else on the planet would say, Luis Robert, which...
Lou Bob.
It might still be. It might actually be, but it's Robert, as agent confirmed that long time ago. We're over that. Luis Robert,
obviously.
We're totally over it. I'm not bringing it up for no reason. 145 games played, 264, hit 38 homers, 20 stolen bases. A kind of disappointing from those numbers, 90 runs and 80 RBI. Had a 315 OBP, the worst of the worst here. 542 slug, which is definitely pretty good. And he did have some lefty righty splits that were pretty dramatic. From this past year, which might have just been so in favor of how he destroyed left-handed hitters or left-handed pitchers.
312 versus lefties, 312, 252 versus righties, which is not, you know, it's an enormous split, but it's not like he's hitting below 215 against righties or anything. So it is a big split. He'd rather play lefties. But
check this out. I don't know if you even noticed this. He was amazing as a contact perspective, hitting 312. With 7 homers and only 109 at bats. So just think about that for a second. But hit 31 homers versus right-handed pitchers.
Well, most pitchers are righties. That's not that. Obviously, that's more power, too.
But I will say the 109 at bats kind of lines up to 7, 14, 21. It lines up to just about where he was in previous years. This same split existed. He hit 354 in 2022 against lefties and 266 against righties with not as dramatic of a split. So the way he was able to power right-handed pitchers this year put him through the roof, and why he had a top 10% expected slug on the season at 515.
Right. He still, you know, his slug versus lefties and righties here was comparable. 587 versus lefties, 531 versus righties. So still a high slug, even against those righties. The one negative when you look at him is that chase rate, bottom 3% in the league in chase percentage.
40.5%.
High chase percentage. So doesn't always see the ball very well, but he still was able to hit 264, which is more than livable. Ton of homers, 20 stolen bases, still a very, very good player.
Wild chase rate that's out there. What he did do is he mirrored two, well, really kind of three pieces that you would love. Career high barrel percentage, 15.4%. Second highest launch angle at 16.1%. And he he pulled the ball higher than he had ever done in a season, 45.2%. So you barrel high, you get the ball in the air, and you pull the ball, and he was able to take advantage of that and turn those into big homers. So, I mean, 45% pull rate, that's a big pull rate. MLB average is 37, and he had only one time in his career had a 41 was his highest. So easily career high, and easily career high barrel percentage, 15.4%. He had had an 8.9 the previous year. So you take all of that type of the quality of hit, he optimized through and through, but he is a huge chase risk and really could have some bad swings. And you know what I mean by that? Like some bad months. He hit 202 to start the year, finished the year hitting 206. And in between that were his big, you know, luckily it was big months. It wasn't like 310 and then 202. It was 310, 293, 266, 280. That's a pretty good middle core of the season. But that chase rate is going to...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
But we will have a part one and two of our outfield profiles this week. And then next week, we'll have a profile of starting pitchers one and two. So guess what? Extra episodes. That's super fun. But hopefully you guys found that helpful in kind of understanding some of the players. You get the statistical stuff. You get some of the analytics that are out there. These are some of the things that we're talking about that will exist in some of the, you know, the guides that you're going to look at. One of which should be the Fantasy Black Book, which is now out and available, I believe, on Amazon. The hardback is probably coming soon, but you can see some of the profiles I wrote in the infield. There's also some strategy stuff. We did a keeper mock in there, which is pretty fun. So go and support Joe in the independent world of creating fantasy guides. And I say that, and he's been one of the best selling out in the market. There's a lot of them out there, but go and support that. And, you know, do it for me too, because that helps when people buy it. And I was a part of it. So that's a good thing. I don't get any kickback if anyone's wondering, but it's good when people purchase it. And I want
to do numbies.
You guys to check it out. Yeah, I want to see some numbies for Joe. So go and do that. Check that out today on the stuff and the things. All right. So I guess we will actually also talk to you on Friday for part two, and then make sure to come to inthisleague.com if you guys want to be a part of the Christmas special. You could probably watch it after, as long as, you know, doesn't get pulled down or anything like that. And just
who knows?
You know,
better show up live. Better show up live.
I always suggest show up live. I don't think we're going to be like wild men, but you know, we're going to have some fun, hang with the people.
We're calming down as we get older.
Yeah.
You know,
a bit. But the problem is like when you guys have, filled wallets and you start bribing us, and we are bribable. So then we start getting bribed, and it's like, take a shot. It's like, okay, let's go. So come and check it out, inthisleague.com. You'll also be able to access all the ranks we've been talking about. Hope to have you there. And that is going to do it for part one of the Outfield Profile series. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast to check out the next one. For Bogman, it's Welsh. We out for now. Bye, friend.
Peace to you.